Pentecost Sunday. Did you hear the wind yesterday? I wonder what it was like that Sunday way back when. The apostles had this amazing experience with the Spirit of God. We'd like to teach you a new song this morning, so you can remain seated just for a little while. But when you pick it up, maybe around the second verse, I'll get you to stand up. The chorus comes after the second verse, not the first, but it'll be good to know once we get to the second verse. So the chorus goes like this.
Holy Spirit, move among us. Revive your church again. Revive your church again.
And repeat.
Verse 1, please.
Holy Spirit, rule among us. May your presence fill this place. Rushing wind and breath of heaven, breathe upon your church again. Tongues of fire light our passion. Kindle us as on that day.
Pentecost,
anoint us, sons and daughters, young and old. Speak your word through dreams and visions. Give us courage, make us bold. Help us tell of Christ the Savior, perfect human crucified. Raised from death that could not hold him, pouring out the Spirit. Holy Spirit, move among us. Revive your church again. Revive your church again. Holy Spirit, move among us. Revive your church again. Revive your church again.
Tongues to speak your word. May the nations sing your praises. Let your gospel song be heard. Fill our hearts with true devotion. For your world, your church, your son. Fill our souls with awe and wonder as we see your kingdom come.
Praise you and thank you for the gift of Pentecost. The reminder that 2 millennia ago you did something in the midst of your apostles that exploded your church and has brought the church to the place that it is at today. Help us, Lord, as followers of Jesus to be mindful of the presence of Holy Spirit in our lives. And may we experience and know and trust those cool winds of the hovering Spirit who is with us always, every moment of every day, even in the dark times. And so, Lord, for this moment, this day, this Pentecost Sunday, may we be reawakened anew, refreshed anew, individually, but also collectively. Lord, we pray for the revival of your church, the restoration of your church, and the reuniting of your church. We give you praise and thanks. Amen. Please take your seats. Welcome to you all on this Pentecost Sunday. We have the pleasure of Trevor Clark's wisdom and presence this morning. And welcome to those of you who are watching online, either now or later in the week. This next song we have sung, I think, twice before, a couple of years back. You might remember it. But just as we sing it, pick it up as you go. Luke records Jesus returning to Nazareth following his temptation in the wilderness. I'm sure you know the story. And on the Sabbath day in Nazareth, Jesus goes to the synagogue and at a certain point during the service stands up to do the reading. And he was handed the scroll of Isaiah and he read from what we know as chapter 61. Here's what Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And today on Pentecost Sunday, when I reflected on that passage in preparation, I thought, this is probably our job description. Our mandate, our calling. And instead of reading it as Jesus did, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, we're going to sing, the Spirit of the Lord is on us. This is the chorus.
The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us, because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us. He has sent us to heal the broken. He has sent us to set the captives free, to release the prisoner from darkness, to claim the ear of favor of the Lord. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. Sent us to comfort all who mourn, to give to them a crown of beauty instead of tears. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on. rains on us. Is on us.
I hope that makes you smile. But that is the reality, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on each of us individually, and is on us collectively, and on God's church collectively. And I heard in a talk just this week, if that were not so, we would cease to exist. Profound thought. That said, okay. You should have a copy of The Grapevine, either digitally or a hard copy as it came in. Just a few reminders. Creative Connection every Thursday morning at 9:30 during school term times. The next Circle of Friends is coming up this Tuesday, the 10th of June. And then the men's dinner group are the following week on the 18th of June. Two things. Just thanks to everybody who brought in empty chip packets. Who brought in empty chip packets? Have you put on weight because of the chips? Thank you for doing that. I'm amazed that they can, the inventiveness of people, they take chip packets and turn them into blankets. Who thought that up? I bet it was God's idea.
Or Mr. Smith.
two notes about things such as rosters and that sort of thing. Firstly, it's Sunday morning tea. There's a need to set up a roster for preparation of morning tea after our services. So if you would like to help with this ministry, and it is a ministry, it's a ministry of service to the rest of the community. There'll be a sheet of paper in the foyer for you to put your name in, indicate which week you would be available. Needs a team of two, ideally, and hopefully if you get enough people, you'll only need to do it once a month. I've been to a couple of meetings just recently, a church council meeting, they were both church council meetings, but with different purposes. One of the things we talked about was that desk up there where Ken, Kirsten, Grant and Dennis are presently sitting, and the workload that these people carry. Now, I don't want to make anybody feel guilty, and I don't want to pump anybody out. Ken does a huge amount of work in the background for the congregation, and I would like to encourage all of us to think about how we might be able to step in and learn to do some of those things that happen at the desk. To give some people a break. So have a think about it. And you might not know, I don't know how to do that, make all of that happen. That could be your first question. Put the question away and have a conversation with Ken, because Ken will teach you how to do it. And if you understand technology, if you have a computer or a laptop, then you're halfway there. Okay, we're going to bring our offerings to the Lord now. So just stay seated until we get to the last verse.
Till I am whole.
but live within the perfect love of thine eternity.
Breath of God, we praise you and thank you that you have filled our lives, that you are taking us on this journey to a place where eventually our hearts will be pure, most likely not in this life, but nonetheless true. We praise you, Lord, that we are wholly yours, completely yours. And though, Lord, we don't always live as though we are, may we learn to live that reality. Lord, thank you that you've given so much to us, and this morning we bring to you the gifts that Adrian and Cheryl are holding. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to use those gifts as we seek to serve you beyond the walls of this building, in the pantry, and those who come to the pantry, and in whatever else you call us into. And for all these things, we give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Amen. Please take your seats.
Good morning, everybody. Here I am again. What happens here? But let us pray. Start off with saying that this is the day that the Lord made. So we will rejoice and be glad in it, for you are our word, and you have sustained your people throughout the generations. We give you thanks. As Christian women and men, we assemble here this morning to offer our prayers. As we turn our minds to you today, I would like to quote that should always be in our lives. It is from the Grapevine last week, and it was believed to be written by John Wesley. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times you can, to all people you can, as long as ever you can. God of love, our winter season has begun. It is a time of year when many people experience hardships, so we ask that you wrap them in the warmth of your Holy Spirit so that those who are suffering may find your comfort and strength. We're all touched by the plight of those lives that are stressful, and we ask you to grant them some peace. God of compassion, please be with those who are suffering. Grant patience and compassion to those who are entrusted with their care, and may your spirit dwell within them. God of mercy and pity, remember the homeless, the destitute, the prisoners, the refugees, and all those who have none to care for them. Heal those who are broken in their bodies or spirits, so that they may have some joy restored to their lives. Help us to minister to their needs for the love of your Son. He quoted in the book of Matthew, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You have promised that when two or three of us are gathered in your name, you will hear our prayers. Today, we all weep as we pray for those who are in conflict throughout the world. When I hear about wars, I remember the quote from Abigail Disney, who advocates for peace. She said, "I think if we understand better the impact of war on women and children, we might be more careful about wars we start." I also add and remember that it also has devastating effects for our fellow men. God be merciful to them and bless them in their needs. We especially pray for all your women, children, and men suffering in the wars that are raging in Europe and in the Middle East. We ask this through your Son. You are the Lord, the giver of life. We who have received this life are in your debt. We look forward to the day when we pass from this life to live with you in our spiritual life. John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? The day when we receive our resurrection and we enter into your presence will be a day of celebration, when we too will be part of your grace. We remember friends and family who have preceded us, and we offer thanks for their lives. They fought the fight. They finished the course. They proclaimed the faith and have come home to you. Let us pause for a moment to remember those who are close to us and have passed. As we come to the end of our session this morning, I'm sure that all of us want to give you thanks for the rain and the rain and the rain and the rain that has finally come to our state, and we hope that it brings hope and relief to the people who work on the lands. We also remember with joy Valerie. You remember the little dog who was lost on Kangaroo Island? She's now home with her fellow pets and in the loving arms of her owners and starring on her own Facebook page. So great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And we confirm our faith as we recite the prayer that Jesus left for us when he was here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lest we forget, we welcome Malcolm back to us from his travels in the outback. We prayed for you while you were there, and God has answered our prayers. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Amen.
That lady is an amazing lady. There are some amazing things happening in her head. Thank you. The Bible reading today comes from Colossians 2, 6 to 15. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So I'm not sure exactly what Trevor's going to be bringing to us this morning, but he did message me that his theme is fullness that comes through Christ. And this song, I think, reflects that theme. We've sung it before. Just remain seated as we sing.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Good morning.
And
can I say that it is a lovely thing, and on a really cold weekend like this, having spent some time on Friday morning speaking with people who live in their cars and who don't have a home to go to, it reminded me of how well off we all are when we have somewhere that's safe and warm. And for those people who don't have that, we should really be holding them in our prayers, because this is the time of the year that is so difficult. Many of them will be struggling now in the weeks ahead with illness as they suffer with that quite badly in the cold weather. So if you pray particularly for those who are homeless and particularly those who live in cars.
And tents.
And tents, yes. It's a pretty tough life. And I'd just like you to hold them in your prayers. So, we're in Colossians. There's only three chapters, you know. You did know that, didn't you? It doesn't take a long time to read. But it is fascinating to see the movement through it. And we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. And today, we're looking at what Paul, but we're pretty sure Timothy wrote it on Paul's behalf. But what we're looking at, what Paul was talking about as the opportunity for followers of Jesus. That these people who had everything in front of them, that for them, he starts with some phrases like this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Continue to live your lives in him. It's fascinating that this is the core of everything that's in this chapter 2, is this whole desire that the life of those who are followers of Jesus would in fact be full and rich, but also that they would come to understand that God has a purpose for their lives. It's really a fascinating thing to see just how much that matters. And there are lots of images here that tell us that Paul really wants us to understand what a transforming thing it is to have that life with Christ. There are all sorts of hints here. One thing that we forget is that we don't get what it is to be captives. You know, in Asia Minor, which is of course where the letter to Colossae was sent, there were always armies going through, and always there was the latest lot of people who'd been taken in war and were going to be slaves. Some of them in the Colosseums, but most of them just in households and doing those sorts of things that were normal household duties, you know, cleaning the place, cooking the food, doing all that sort of stuff that has to be done. And so when Paul is talking about being slaves, he's actually saying that their opportunities to live were going to be seriously curtailed. And he says that in verse 8. He talks about the fact that that freedom is going to be taken away from them. That's what it is to be a captive. And he unpacks what that freedom is and how it is taken away. He is saying to these Christians, he's saying, look, what you have, the life you have, is not something that is to be taken for granted, but it's rather something that has deep power in it. And so Paul is wanting them to understand that in this freedom of following Jesus, of having him as the one who builds them up, there is a purpose for the future. So let's come back, having talked about that, what it is to be captives, let's hear again what the offer is that's in Christ. Just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Do you hear that? Again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about the power of what is being offered. And in Colossians, we hear that all of chapter 2 is about the opportunities that come from following Jesus. That there's a richness and a fullness that is here. That, to be rooted and built up in him. It's interesting that there's a real mix of metaphors there, isn't there? Rooted and built up. We've got all of the vegetable world and all of the mineral world, as it were. And the two of them are conflated. Well, I shouldn't use such a big word. The two of them are drawn together. What Paul is saying is that for ordinary Christians, this is what is there for all of us. That all of the power that's here is about us receiving what Christ is offering in power. And that that is so that we might live in that power. Now, I'm sure that none of you read your grapevine this morning because you were all, doing other things and not sitting there and reading my article. But, it's so easy for us to forget. It's so easy for us to get caught up. It's so easy for us to live in a world which is not one which is full of Christ. So easy for us to get caught up in missing out on that. As we look at this reading, Paul is crying out to us to live full lives in Christ. He's saying, don't miss the opportunity. Because if we do miss the opportunity, our lives will be incredibly poorer. Because if we do miss the opportunity to live in Christ, then we will miss the opportunity to see the richness that is offered to us in Christ. I remember when I was young, yes, I know, so much younger than today. Yeah, I get all that. But, Do you remember when you were a young Christian? Hands up, someone here who has a strong memory of when they first came to faith. Who has some sort of strong memory of that? There's quite a few. It's very powerful to remember what God does in us. I remember when I was very young in faith. I remember going to a June long weekend, so it's appropriate, okay, because it was freezing cold, and it was. We were down on the oval at Emmanuel College, and it was a clear, cold night, and it was wickedly cold. And we had to go out on the oval and do whatever it was that we had to do. You know, you know how they send you out and you've got to meditate on something or think about something. And of course, I was doing none of that. I was having a nice little conversation with God because that's what really mattered. And it was important. But you know, at that time, in my naivety, and I had plenty of it then, okay, I said to God, if you're real, show yourself to me. You know, that cry of lots of young people who are coming towards faith. You know, I wanted to know. I wanted to see it all. And there are lots and lots of young Christians who have that. That powerful experience of God transforming them. And of course, out of that, I went away and I knew that God was calling me to serve. I didn't understand what it meant to be a minister, and I had no idea at the time that I was going to go down that journey. But nonetheless, God was calling me. There was a call on my life and I needed to respond to it. We all need to know about that call on our lives and to be ready to respond to it. And I have to say that was one of the really transforming things in my life. The fact that now, that was 1975, so what does that make it? 50 years ago, yeah. Scary, isn't it? You know, but I knew that God had a call on my life and that I needed to do something about it. And that transformed my life. I have such richness out of following Jesus and listening to his call and doing the stuff that he was asking me to do. And the things that I have seen and been part of, the times that I have seen God at work in other people, the times when I have prayed, as I did one night where there was a woman who was going off, she was from the country, she was going off to the city because they were going to test her for cancer, and she was pretty distressed about it, and then she was going to go off to the city the next day. And we had a prayer service that night. I've got no idea why. You know, God's timing, I believe. But, you know, she went and, you know, she got there and they said, "Why are you here, ma'am? We can't find anything." You know? And I'll tell you, I was scared by that. Because when you're involved and God does something, that confronts you, doesn't it? That God might be in the middle of what I'm doing here. That God might really be involved. That God might really want me to fully respond, not just partially respond. And that's what it is to be in those places where we see God at work. And God wants to work in us. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Colossians chapter 2. He's talking about these things. Do you remember what I said before? Here we go. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That's a fullness thing. It's an overflowing thing. It's a wonderful expectation that God is among what is happening in the people in Colossae. That here there is a remarkable event where, for Paul speaking to them, there is a confidence that God is at work in them. And that for us, we need to hear that Paul is deliberately letting these people know this because he wants them to understand that God wants to do that in them. He knows it's difficult. In all of Asia Minor, or Turkey, or Turkey, as we call it now, because we've changed it slightly. Notice that Turkey disappeared, but Turkey somewhere arrived out of nowhere. But in that part of the world, it was tough. Much of the early persecution of the church came from that part of the world. I used to get out my new Eusebius, and they would have one of the letters from, I think it was from Trajan, talking about the things that he wanted to do to the Christians. There was a lot of anxiety in that, and a lot that was difficult to confront. But talking to that, Paul is saying to these people, not you're going to be overwhelmed with difficulty, but rather that you will have the power of God's Spirit among you. It's not that you're going to be overcome with all this stuff, it's that these wonderful things are going to happen. And as we reflect upon this, and we reflect on what was offered to the people of Colossae, then we need to hear that Paul said that not only for the people of Colossae, but for all who follow Jesus, and that that same offer is made to us, that we are given the opportunity to be transformed. But he does send a warning. He says, look, the life that you've got, don't take it for granted. Where we started. He talked about watching the captives walking through the city as they were being taken to the slave markets. And he talks about other things that we can do at that point. He goes on and he says this. After he said about don't be enslaved, he says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. And then he goes on and talks about circumcision. And I would encourage you to read that and reflect on that. Why? Because he's basically playing over between the old covenant and the new covenant. And there's a whole lot of little things that are happening there. But what Paul is saying is that for you, that you will have the fullness of the deity. Today is Pentecost Sunday. What these guys get to hear is that Jesus wants to be at work in them. So the question I have for you is, how is God at work in you? Think about it. What is it that God wants of you? How is it that God wants to work in you? What is it that God sees in you that is yet to be fulfilled? Because that's what this is about being fulfilled. What is it that God wants to do in you yet? There is so much that God will see you as. I used to know, but hopefully I'll know her again in heaven. There's a lady called Jess McLennan. They lived down at Largs Bay, I suppose, where they lived. Jess, who was, well, she always seemed really old to me, but probably these days I wouldn't think she was so old. But Jess, well into her 70s, decided that she was going to go across the other side of the world and be a house mother for children who were the children of missionaries. So she, well into her 70s, probably almost into her 80s, heads off to do this. You know, goodness gracious, where's Abraham when you need him? You know, there were still things that were in Jess that were yet to be discovered. There are still things in us that are yet to be discovered. I don't know what those things are for you, but God will set you ways that you can be used that you will never understand. As a minister, we get to often go into nursing homes. It's one of those things that we do. And there was one nursing home called Kaluna, which is not there anymore, where there was this one lady who was enormous. She couldn't move. You know, every so often they'd get her out of bed, and it was, with the old sling and everything. And it was awful. But for this woman who was, in fact, struggling with her body, which was falling apart. But this lady, when she got there, said, I would like to be in the first room, because they all had all these rooms with 4 or 8, 6 or whatever it was, beds in them. She said, I'd like to be there so that when people come in, I can pray for them and welcome them. She was captured by her body. But she was free on the inside. And you know, when that lady eventually died, they found that all of the other people, that the children of those people mostly, had been in to visit, that all visited with this lady who'd prayed for them and cared for them and listened to their stories. And in the end, when she died, there were a lot of people who knew that their lives had been blessed. So this woman who was a captive of her body was actually giving freedom to other people. For us, what are the undiscovered parts of our life? Paul is offering these people freedom, but it's a freedom of service. It's a freedom of transformation. And in that freedom, there are new opportunities. So I'm going to declare today the 95th of your life. There you go. If you're older than 95, you don't have to listen to this. But are you one of those who's a part of this story? Of knowing that God is wanting to do something new and wonderful in you at the moment. And I don't know what it is. I'm not that clever. But I do know that Paul wants the Colossian Christians to see what's on offer. Paul wants them to see how God is transforming and giving them new opportunities. And he's offering that to you. And he's saying there are new opportunities that God has for you. But how does he do it? He does it by offering to you the transforming presence of Christ. To actually hear these words because they are for you. You know, these words. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. On this day, as we celebrate Pentecost, as we celebrate the coming of the Spirit, understand that in Colossians here, Paul is crying out for people to receive the fullness of Christ. That's what he wants for them. And he goes on to unpack it. So will you today hear and receive the fullness of Christ? Will you know that God has got a wonderful thing to do in you? And he ain't finished with you yet. Just like my lady down at Kaluna, who thought her life might be over, but she went and got the bed by the door. She was determined that her life was not going to be over. That she had been given a wonderful gift in Christ, and he was calling her to give that to others, just as Jess went all around the world so that others might see new things. The stories of people who respond to the Spirit of God are all around us. We can say this as among the group of those of us who call ourselves clergy. One of the great delights that we get is that we get to come up in front of you week by week. But when we look, we see stories of people. We see what, because we've been included and we've heard what God is doing in them. And so, you know, we don't just see, you know, Macca. We see God creatively and transforming and bringing beautiful and wonderful things to pass. Or Ingrid and prayers. You know. Or the dog. I remember the dog. You know, all sorts of stuff that is here all the time. And each of those clergy will have a completely different set of stories to the ones that I know. And each of you will have stories of God at work in your world. On this day, Pentecost Sunday, may you live in the wonder of God who is working in you, transforming you, and giving you a fullness of life. Amen.
One of the things that stood out in that reading and Trevor's message was this, the verses, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness." The implication of that is, or the reality of it is, that the fullness of the deity lives in us. If the fullness of the deity is in Christ, then the fullness of the deity is in us. And that's a huge challenge in life, as to how we live with that reality and what we do with our lives and the questions that Trevor was asking of, where is God taking us? Life is never over until life is over. And then something different happens in life. We're going to stand and sing. And I just mentioned too, if you've been challenged, if there's thoughts stirred up in you this morning from any part of the service, including Trevor's message, then ask someone to pray for you. And I'd be happy to do that. And Marge would, and Wendy would, and Trevor would, I'm sure, and Malcolm would. So there's plenty of people around who will pray for you. We're going to stand and sing a song that celebrates the presence of the Lord on us. Take us to the river.
To win this generation for our King.
sound of forgiveness. For it is the place that river flows. Take us to the river in the city of our God. Take us to the river in the city of our God. Take us to the river in the city.
When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, now listen, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. That is the promise with which you leave this place. This is the promise that Christ has for you. So go. For God is seeking for you to know all of his love and fullness. Amen.
For the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. There in unity to sing the song of salvation to win this generation for our King, song of your forgiveness. For it is a place that river flows. Take us to the river in the city of our God. Take us to the river. Take us to the river.